So, Psalms 15:1, and before I read this first verse, Lord, thank you for your spirit and your presence. Lord, I've prayed, I've prepared, but nothing good is going to come out of this unless you move. So right now, I submit to you, I ask for your guidance, ultimately, that I could get out of the way as much as possible so that each one could be drawn to you, drawn to your will, ultimately for your purpose and your glory. So Lord, help us to just focus. We give you our attention. We give you our focus, our heart, and our will, and say, Lord, I need to hear from you. Speak to me today what you want me to hear by your spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalms 15:1 says, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle and who may dwell in your holy hill? At this time, the Lord's tabernacle and the Lord's holy hill were in the city of Jerusalem. It was the actual place. At one time, it was a tent and then became a building where God's manifest presence dwelt. And so the question is asked then, Lord, who actually may abide in your holy place, in your presence, and who may dwell or live as a welcome guest, is what the idea is there. Who may dwell as a welcome guest in your house and in your presence? And then verse 2 answers, and there are a series of characteristics here that would allow us to do that. And the first one in verse 2 says this, he who walks uprightly. He who walks uprightly. And again, the Bible uses many occasions to represent the Christian lifestyle because it's a walk is a step-by-step. You know, we're on a journey. We're going somewhere. We're walking with the Lord. The Bible says in the New Testament to once we are born again, we walk in newness of life. And so we're to walk in the Spirit and so forth. It's a characteristic of those who know the Lord. It's a lifestyle. So when the Bible talks about walk by faith, not by sight, it's a lifestyle of living by faith, step by step. And the Bible says, even in the Old Testament, when God promised a certain area of land to his people, he said, you're not gonna be able to conquer it all at one time. He said, it's gonna be little by little. And I found that in the Christian life, I wish I could grow faster. I wish I could do this or do that. But I found that more often than not, it's little by little. It's step by step, walking with the Lord, trusting him every single step of the way. So to walk means a lifestyle. And let me give you a couple of verses here in the New Testament if you just want to write them down. Then we'll come back in Psalms 15 and look at it in a little more detail. But the Bible says this in Galatians 5:16. Here's a couple in this one particular chapter that talk about how we are to walk. 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust, or the text there really refers to the sinful desires of the flesh. So the key to a victory in our lives is never just, I'm gonna struggle to do better, I'm gonna use my willpower, and I'm gonna, it's not that at all. In the Christian life, it's more submission to and reliance on God's Spirit to empower us, because there are some issues and battles and temptations that we face. Human willpower is not enough. And we need God's power to help us and his grace. So walk in the Spirit. Would you please tell somebody next to you, walk in the Spirit? And then if you drop down to verse 25, if you want to write it down, Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. This word that's translated walk here is only used 5 times. And of course, it still means a lifestyle, but here's what it actually means to. It means to follow or adhere to. To follow or adhere to. Would you come here for a second? Any of you ever... when you were in school, do a race where you would be side by side with someone and they took maybe one of those bands and put around the legs that are a three-legged race. All right. What's that?
It was a sack. You put it
in. Oh, I don't know. I did the other. But whatever it is, you had to walk in step. And I'm not even going to try that right now. But you get the idea, right?
You use that leg, I use this leg. Uh-oh. 1, 2, 3.
Oh, my goodness.
See? You can do it.
All right.
Y'all, let's step.
Some translations actually say right there, because of that, it says, keep in step with the Spirit. So I just made a combination, and here's the title of the message today. Walk in step with the Spirit. Walk in step with the Spirit. If we're going to be a people who dwells in and abides in God's holy presence, we got to keep in step. We got to walk in step with Him. Walk in step with the Spirit. Let me read again, just for sake of time, I'll read you these verses and I'm going to get back to Psalms 15. But the Bible says, when it says, well, in fact, go ahead and look at it if you would. Psalms 15:2 says, he who walks uprightly. That Hebrew word is most often translated without blemish. And it refers to all of the sacrifices like Passover that had to be without blemish in order to be an acceptable sacrifice to the Lord, because the problem for us is we are deeply blemished by sin, and we can't cleanse our heart. We can't wash our own sin away, and our sin separates us from a holy God. So thank God he loved us so much and he wants us to be close to him that he made a way that we can. He made a way that we can live in his presence. He made a way. That's why all the Old Testament sacrifices had to be without blemish, because they all pointed to the only one who was truly without blemish, the sinless Son of God, Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 10, let me read these verses to you. Hebrews chapter 10. The Bible says this, beginning in verse 19. And I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place. Now it's not Jerusalem's most holy place. Now it's heaven's most holy place. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. See, the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. So he says in verse 20, by his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way. Do you catch that contrast? His death is a new and life-giving way for us through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. The New King James translation says, let us draw near. Let us draw near. Jesus opened the way by his sacrificial death, his pouring out of his life's blood on the cross. He conquered death, conquered sin, conquered Satan, and the way is now open for us to go into the presence of God, to live in his presence in full fellowship, but God does not drag us in. He says, you draw in. The way is open, and I want you, I'm inviting you, now you come on. And that's where worship and prayer and just staying in constant fellowship through scripture and so forth with the Lord, that's how we dwell in his presence. So he says in verse 20, the next verse or part of it says, for our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. So he cleanses us from all sin. And he's the only one who can make us clean. And when we believe God's word about what it says about sin and Jesus and his sacrifice for us, and we receive Jesus as Lord, we are forgiven of all of our sin. God cleanses our hearts. He gives us his righteousness, and his Holy Spirit enters our hearts to help us walk in step with him. Amen. Now, would you turn over to Psalms 24? I'm going to come back to 15, but Psalms 24, because he asks a similar question and gives an answer here that complements what we're going to read in 15. So Psalms 24, beginning in verse 3, and the scripture says this, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? See how that's a similar question there? And then he answers this in verse 4, he who has clean hands and a pure heart. The hands represent our works, the heart, our motive, our walk. He who has not lifted up his soul to an idol nor sworn deceitfully. And I love this, verse 5, he shall receive. Would you please say receive?
Receive.
That scripture says that we receive the gift of righteousness. We receive abundant life. Here, by faith, he says we receive blessing from the Lord. And then he gives us a specific blessing and righteousness from the God of his salvation. We receive blessing and we receive righteousness from the God who saves us. That's why I said when we believe God's word and receive Jesus as Lord, he cleanses our hearts by forgiving all of our sin, giving us his righteousness, and placing his Holy Spirit in our heart so that we can walk in step with the Spirit. What a privilege. What a privilege we have that we live in this time frame, that we do not have to make a trip to Jerusalem, although I'm all for that. I've been four times. But we don't have to go there. Jesus said the hour is coming and now is when those who worship will not worship in just about a right place, but a right heart. Amen. Because the Father is seeking those who worship him in spirit and in truth. Yes. So he has opened the way, and what a privilege we have that we can live in the presence of God. And then one more scripture, and you can turn back to Psalms 15. The Bible says this in 1 John 1:7. I read it when we opened the service today. But if we walk in the light, now God's word is light, and God's presence, God's spirit is light. So if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, and here's how it actually is worded, continually cleanses us from all sin. So if we stay in the light, that's in close fellowship with him. That's what it means to, I'm walking in step with the Spirit. And so if I'm walking in the light of fellowship with him, then even sins that I may not be aware of, do you know the Old Testament, God made a way to forgive sins that you didn't even know you did? Unintentional sins. And see, if we walk in the light as he is, then we're gonna have full fellowship, and the blood of Jesus continually cleanses from sin I might not even be aware of. That's how powerful it is. And that's how it brings us joy, because I know I've got nothing between my heart and God's. So to walk in fellowship is to walk in step with the Spirit. And then let me just give you three practical ways from Psalms 15 here that I believe we can live this out to walk in the Spirit. How many of you remember a television show years ago? I think it was called The Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. Any of y'all remember that? Can you hear that accent in your head right now? Rich and famous, according to whom? Because Jesus told a church in Revelation, I know your poverty, but you're really rich. And then he told another one, you say you're rich, you don't know how destitute you are. I'm not here to talk about lifestyles of the rich and famous today. But I am here by God's word that we want to look at lifestyles of the righteous and faithful. How about that? Rich and famous, if God bless you, have it, enjoy it. But how about righteous and faithful? So that we stay in close fellowship, stay in step with him. So if you want to just write this down, let me again read it to you. He who walks uprightly. So our walk affects, and then the next part of that verse, and works righteousness. So our walk affects our works. Our walk affects our works. And I'll give you another scripture on that from Jesus in the New Testament. But just so you have a heads up, our walk, our fellowship, our daily life in fellowship and communion with the Lord affects our works, our words, and our wealth. So here, it affects our works. Now, anyone can do religious deeds, is that right? But the Bible says if they're done without the Lord, they're called dead works. And dead works will not save anyone, and they earn no merit with God. So again, dead works, and this is what Jesus said about works in Matthew 5, 16. Let me read it to you. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Many of you are familiar with it. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Think about that. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works ultimately that they glorify your Father in heaven. Brothers and sisters, if we want to glorify, or if we want others to glorify our Father in heaven, our works must shine like light out of a close walk of fellowship with him. That way he gets the glory. If I do anything and people just, all they say is, oh, you're so spiritual, that's so good, then I better enjoy it for that little second, because that's it. But now people may thank us and whatever, and I appreciate that. But ultimately, if we do it out of fellowship with the Lord, then our works flow from our walk, and then he gets the glory. Isn't that what we want anyway? Want everybody to be drawn to him, to give him the glory, so that if they're not already, they could start walking with him and let their works flow out of their walk. So walk in step with the Spirit. Would you please tell somebody that next to you? Walk in step with the Spirit. So not only does our walk affect our works, our walk also affects our words. Psalms 15, I'll pick up again in verse 2. He walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. So someone said, our walk talks louder than our talk talks. I know that's not comfortable. I don't really like it either, but it's true. Our walk talks louder than our talk talks. See, and he says here in that scripture, he says, and speaks the truth in his heart. See, godly words come from God's Spirit and his truth in our hearts. What did Jesus say? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth does what? The mouth speaks. So it comes from our heart. So if we have God's truth and God's Spirit in our heart, then if we walk in step with the Spirit, then we're not going to do any of, you know, break these characteristics here. There's a characteristics of those who live in close fellowship with him, who walk in step with the Spirit. And if you look at verse 3, he who does not backbite with his tongue. That word backbite is an interesting word. Are you familiar with how when Joshua sent spies into Jericho to spy it out? This is what the Bible says. They were sent secretly to, quote, spy out Jericho, to check it out. It's the same word translated backbite here. And here's what it means. To backbite means that we want to spy on someone. To spy on someone because I want to look for some evil that I can use against them. That's backbite. To spy, I'm looking for something. I'm looking for you to do wrong. Does that come from a heart that's right with it? But do you see how that's not walking in step with the Holy Spirit, is it? So it's not that we can't call out something that's wrong, but that's not our heart. I'm just gonna spy on you so I can use some evil against you. So that's not characteristic of someone walking in step with the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on again, I'll read that verse. And he says, backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor. The Passion Translation says they'll never listen to gossip or rumors right there. Never listen to gossip or rumors. Nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, verse 4, in whose eyes a vile person is despised. I'll explain it. But he honors those who fear the Lord. Now, that word vile means, it literally means to reject. So someone who is vile is someone who rejects God and his ways. And the word despise there, it's not like God wants us just to, like, we despise that person. It's not that. The Hebrew word means to disdain or to consider mean. It's like that person's mean. Well, that could be an honest evaluation. That doesn't mean we despise them in the way we might think of as an English word. That vile person means a reprobate, but it means if someone rejects God and his ways, and the word honor is in contrast to the word despise. So if I see someone and I know they reject God and his ways, I'm not gonna honor them with my words because that could give a wrong impression. But I'm gonna honor people who fear the Lord. You see how that's using our words in a good way? That's the characteristic of walking in step with the Holy Spirit. Let me give you a scripture in the New Testament for that before I give you this last characteristic of walking in step with the Spirit. The Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 4. I'll read it to you. Ephesians chapter 4, just two verses, verses 29 and 30. It says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Let me pause there a second. That word corrupt means like a decaying or a rotten word. I worked in a store for 6 years. And I worked in the meat department for part of that time, and I've smelled meat that has gone, you know, may have gone bad, but I've smelled vegetables. And I thought about when I read this again, just because I know what the definition is there, it stinks so bad. It'll give rotten meat a run for its money. I can tell you that if you've never had that pleasure, God bless you. And he said, our words can be like that to the Holy Spirit. It's a rotten, decaying word. Don't let that come out of your mouth. And so he says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Impart grace to the hearers. The Bible teaches us this. We overcome evil with good. So how do I not speak bad words? I'm not gonna cuss anymore. I'm not gonna complain. No. We overcome evil by submitting to God's Spirit in our heart and speaking grace-filled words by his Spirit rather than my own words that may not be very grace-filled. Overcome evil with good. So walk in step with the Spirit. Do you see how all of these, or at least the two we've seen so far, is not just about our walk with the Lord, but our walk with the Lord affects our walk with others too, doesn't it? In our works and in our words. So he says, again, the weight of victory is submission to God's Spirit in our heart. That's why verse 30 says this, Ephesians 4:30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Do not grieve. We talked about this Wednesday night because we were reading a psalm in 17 where it says, people were attacking and persecuting David. And he said, Lord, you've tested me in the night. Doesn't it seem like a night season when we go through tests? And this is what he said. I've purposed that my mouth will not transgress. You've tested me, and I've purposed that my mouth will not transgress. And then over in 1 Peter, we were talking about just from that verse in Psalms about our tests that we face in life. Because the Bible says that when the testing of your faith is much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tried by fire. When God tests our faith, it's for a good purpose, so that it may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. See, God is working by his Spirit as we walk in step with him to not only grow closer to him, but to grow more like him. How many of you, I'll just tell you what it says. There's a church here in the city that has a little sign out front, and they change it from time to time. And the one it says right now, Lord, whatever you're baking outside, it's done. And that really stood out to me this week for some. I drove on by it, but man, my mind kept racing with that because it reminded me of something. It reminded me of the heat of testing. And if you've ever baked anything, you try to bake bread, whatever it is, some kind of dessert. Have any of you ever baked something and you did not leave it in long enough? And if you pull it out too early, you don't even want anyone to look at it. Even if it tasted good. But there is a way to test whether it's done on the inside or not. Not cutting it and eating it. What do? You put something on the inside like a fork or a knife. And if it comes out what? clean. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. See, I thought about that sign because I'm ready to get out of fire testing as soon as I get in sometimes. And the Lord may say, no. If I pull you out right now, you're going to be going through this one again. So you might as well just stay close to me. I'm not going to destroy you with the heat. It's just going to purify your faith so that your heart gets a little cleaner, because I see some ways in you that are not like my son, and I've got to work in you for that cleanliness. But you see how God does that? And but it comes out of our walk. So our walk affects our works, our words, and then finally our wealth. And this is what the scripture says there in Psalms 15 and verse 5. It says, he who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. I pause right there before I finish the last part of that verse. Because if we walk with the Lord and we recognize that ultimately he owns it all and we're his managers of all that he entrusts to us, then we want to use our wealth in ways that honor him and not try to take advantage of people, like right here. When God told people when they went into the promised land or to Israel, he said, if a poor brother or sister is in need and you can help them out, don't add interest onto what you loan them. They can pay you back, but don't add that to them. Now, if you're in a business or something, that's different. But at that particular time, and they didn't listen to God, and they almost like what we might think of as some credit card rates today. You're going to take advantage of people when they're down, man, and make it harder for them to get like where they can't even hardly get out of debt. So God said, don't have that kind of heart. Don't let that be your motive. And so he says in that scripture, to honor the Lord basically out of our walk, because it affects our wealth. And then I'll close with this. Jesus said in Matthew 6, once again, Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, 19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. There's nothing wrong with saving or so forth, but he says, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Would you please read that last verse with me? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I wrote in the devotional, Walk in Newness of Life on the Day on Finances, How Can I Manage Money Wisely, that most of the parables Jesus taught used money as an illustration for some truth, because money is an indicator of our heart, our priorities, and our trust in the Lord. So money is an indicator. So again, it's never just about the money or the wealth or the words or the works. It ultimately always comes back to the walk, to walk in step with the Lord and use what he entrusts us with in ways that honor him, because we know that our true treasure is in heaven. We can buy and have and enjoy stuff here, but it's all temporary. We're going to leave it all. Someone said, how much did they leave? They left it all. But we can lay up treasures in heaven. And we can enjoy them forever if we stay in step with the Spirit. This is what it says. I'll close verse 5. Last part of that verse says, he who does these things shall never be moved. He does. It's doers of the word are the ones that are blessed. Not hearers only, not just, well, I intend to. No, it's we got to do what God tells us to do. That's why the scripture in Psalms 1 said, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he does meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, who brings forth fruit in his season, and whatever he does shall prosper. That starts with delighting in God's word. If we delight in it, we'll dwell on it and declare it. That's what I think about meditation. Delight in it, dwell on it, declare it, and then do it. So let's think about this a second. What have I been dwelling on this past week? I'm not talking about your job, your school, what demands. I'm talking about when we have time to think about something. Do I delight in God's word? And do I give him some time? Am I dwelling on a truth in scripture? Am I declaring some truth in Scripture ultimately so that I can do it. He who does these things shall never be moved. Brothers and sisters, we're to live by the truth and standards of God's word, not the standards of a corrupt world system we live in. So to walk in step with the Spirit so that we can live continually in his presence by the power. If we are born again, God has given us his Holy Spirit to empower us to do his word. And so we can walk in step with him. It's how we grow closer to him. It's how we grow more like him and how we become more useful to him. And this word says they'll never be moved. That word can also mean continually shaken. See, doing God's word brings stability into our lives. It brings stability into our thoughts and into our emotions. Doesn't mean I'm not shaken, but it does mean I'm not going to be continually shaken because I'm doing what God says, and he is my rock. He's my source of stability and strength, and I'm not going to be moved from his presence because I'm going to walk in step with the Spirit. So that's the context. I'm not going to be moved from his presence because I'm staying close to him. And when life gets shaky and I get shaky, I'm going to lean on him and stay in step with him because he's not shaken. He's not anxious. He's not fearful. He's not worried. He's not fallen. And he can hold me up and keep me in the right way, walking in step with him. Walk in step with the Spirit. So let's think about our walk with the Lord, just even over these past 7 days, over this past week. Just between you and the Lord now, would you say you were in step with him? That you were in close fellowship with him? I hope so. I hope we all can. But I would like to ask you this too. Can you think of just one way that you could be, I would just say that you could better walk in step with him this week? Can you think of one way, maybe from Scripture, maybe for some of us it means I've got to focus on him a little more in the mornings before I get started on and get so distracted. It's so easy to get distracted. Maybe for some it means I'm gonna meditate on this Scripture. Maybe if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That's gonna be, I'm gonna think about that every day this week. I'm gonna confess it every morning. I'm gonna confess it every evening. Whatever it may be, whatever that Scripture is. Walk in the Spirit. Lord, help me to stay in step with you. Maybe it means to focus more in worship. I've gotten to where over the years, recent years, as much as I have to prepare and study and pray, I really want to start the week off on Sundays more in worship. I mean, when I get up, I want to be focused. Lord, today, I want to just let this be a day of worship. Let this be, I'm dedicating not only this first day of the week, I'm dedicating the week to you. I'm dedicating myself to you. We're starting off right. Let's keep it going by God's grace through the week. And we can do that if we walk in step with him. So whatever it may be, let's just ask him to search our heart right now and just say, Lord, how can I better walk in step with you just now? As we go to the Lord in prayer, maybe even thinking about how my walk affects my works, my words, my wealth. I said, Lord, help me. I need your grace. I need your help. Can we stand? And we just have a closing song that is a prayer for God to purify our heart. Just again, think about it. Walk in step with the Spirit. Father, I pray that you would lead us now. Draw us. You know what we need to do to be close to you, to stay in fellowship with you, to grow more like you. So, Lord, whatever that is, would you lead us and guide us as we seek you even this day and this week and keep us close, Lord. We need your help. May we just trust you to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to ask you a question.